Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is.
That's to me, MC, music of the crowd.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is.
That's to me, MC, music of the crowd.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is.
Greetings once again. It's your boy Cypher the MC, the Muhammad Ali of MCs, back with you once again. You know who it is. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Into the Cypher podcast. I bet you're wondering, who is this guy? Who is this handsome fellow? Or if you're from the Midwest, feller. I'm just a regular guy. If you're new to the podcast, thank you so much for tuning in. Hopefully someone referred you or just said, hey, check this guy out. You know, maybe to brighten your day. Hopefully we can brighten your day. If you've been rocking with me for a minute, thank you for stopping by. Thank you for returning. Thank you for just loving on me. I love each and every one of you that tunes in, all three of you. Continue to subscribe to the continue to subscribe to the YouTube channel, The Real Cypher TV. Drop a mic on that like button if you haven't already. Things of that nature. I know I'm a little bit behind as far as uploads and things of that nature, but, you know, guess what? It's coming. You know, like I said, it's coming. For those of you that are new, we have to get our disclaimers out the way. This is just part of the program, so definitely just bear with me. I'm not a psychiatrist nor a psychologist. I'm not a relationship expert. I'm not a sex therapist. I'm not a family therapist. I'm not a financial advisor or legal counsel of any kind. I don't have any masters or doctorates on my wall from Harvard. I am just a regular. Say it with me now. Just a regular Joe Schmo. Just a regular guy giving you the benefit of his experience and observations of this thing called life, just of human nature. Shout out to MJ. As we are on this journey to be the best version of ourselves. And I say we because I'm on this journey with you. Listen, you could have been anywhere in the world. You most likely are. But you're here with me. I appreciate that. Shout out to Jay-Z. Now that we got that out the way, I know you're wondering, what is he talking about with this today's episode, this complacency? What is he talking about? I work hard. I do a lot of things. Listen, don't get your boxers in a bunch. Don't get your thongs twisted if you're wearing thongs. We all have some moments of complacency, but of course, yes, today's episode is dealing with complacency. Can you really afford it? Listen, I get it. We all sometimes get a little comfortable in our daily lives. We get a little too comfortable with where things are going or how things are going. And we like to kind of get into a routine. And the thing about that, especially if you're not where you want to be in life, is that you can get too comfortable and it takes a long time to get uncomfortable. If you know what I mean, it takes a long time to get out of that comfort zone that you've made so comfy with your fluffed pillows and your schnoggy. You're just a little bit too comfortable there. But deep within, you want to do more. You want to be more. You want to take life by the reins and just see yourself differently. And that's what this episode is about, is that why do we do that? Why do we get into those moments of complacency, and how can we get out of it? Listen, it's even though in this country, the United States of America, great country, still an adolescent compared to other countries in the world. We're only a couple of hundred years old, people. Compared to other countries that are thousands of years old and have much longer histories, you know, we're kind of the adolescents. We're kind of the, you know, the rabble-rousers, the rebels of the world. And yes, we may be seen as a superpower and the most powerful country in the world, but we have so much more to learn. And one of the things that I've noticed fairly recently about this country is that there is a certain system in place when it comes to a hierarchy, and it's not based off of race. I really don't think it's based off of race. It's based off of economics. It's based off of class. There's an economic power struggle there between, you know, those that have the power and the influence and basically the resources, basically the money, and those that don't have that. You can say it's the have and the have-nots, or rich or poor, the well-to-do and the other side of the tracks. But we have to start thinking of things more strategically now more than ever before, given the climate of where things are and how things stand currently. Listen, I realize it's tax season. We're going to use this as an example. It's tax season. So, having lived quite a few years on this planet, I've noticed that around this time of year, and in the next couple of weeks, people are going to get their tax returns, and the first thing they're going to do, most of them, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to buy something. Why? Because right now they're counting down the days, the hours, the minutes when that money hits their bank account through direct deposit or whatever, of spending whatever goes into their bank account. It's already spent. Very rarely it's like, well, I'm going to get this tax refund and there's a couple of stocks that I want to kind of check into. You know, I need to reach out to a financial advisor and see how I can make this money work for me and things of that nature, because, you know, I worked all year for my tax return, you know, or my tax refund, and I want to put it to good use. No. Unfortunately, most of you are going to get that refund. It's not going to stay in the bank account that long before even a portion of it goes. You're going to eat out a little bit more frequently. You're going to go buy some clothes that you had your eyes on. You're going to buy some sort of electronics or something new that you've always wanted but couldn't afford. And now that you have a little bit of extra money, you might catch up on a few bills. You might catch up on a few bills, but you're not catching what I'm saying if you're just thinking it in that regards. You're not thinking, well, how can I use this money, which is basically, technically, it's free money. You did not have to work for this money to hit your bank account. You did not have to work 2 weeks prior to have this money hit your bank account. You didn't have to do that. So it's kind of, I look at it as free money. What are you going to do with it? I can say what not to do with it, and that's just blow it on things that you really don't need. It's just a want disguised as a need. Listen, we live in a country where there is a system as far as it's based off of we working for someone else. That is what this country has prided itself on, built itself up with. Someone working for someone else. That is what keeps the American system going. It's kind of an economic enslavement in a way. And I know that's a harsh term and it may turn someone off, but it's really, you have to work in order to get certain things, or the basic necessities. But nowhere does someone come along and say, hey, you cashier, hey, you sales rep, hey, you house cleaner, hey, you, barkeep, waitress, would you like to perhaps not work for someone else? No. it is meant for you to work for someone else. I'll give you another example there. Our education system. It's good. It was once the crown jewel of the world, for the most part, back in the 80s. Everyone wanted to come to America to learn and get educated and things of that nature, at least in the top three as far as educational systems. The education system does not tell you or show you how to handle money. It tells you what money is. It tells you about an economy that functions and revolves around money and currency and the, you know, the countries in that are part of a larger system. Yeah, they'll teach you about that, but they won't show you or tell you how to budget. They won't show you or tell you how to invest. Why? Because that information was then reserved for those who actually had more money than the average person, you know, kind of in the upper six figures, maybe seven figures. That information was made for them. And the people who made that type of money would employ other people who didn't. I mean, millionaires don't employ other millionaires to do work for them. Now, you can become a millionaire by working with or for a millionaire, true, depending on how you invest your money. But millionaires don't employ millionaire pool cleaners. Millionaires don't employ millionaire maids or housekeepers. They're willing to pay you, you know, whatever amount per hour to do a certain job. The educational system was not geared to have us go out and be entrepreneurs and business owners and things of that nature. No. The educational system, as it was explained to me, you go to school. If you do well enough, you go to college. If you don't have the money for college, there's two ways you can go about doing it. Really, really two ways. I mean, there's always a third way and things of that nature. But the main two ways were financial aid, which is basically borrowing money from the government. They like to throw, hey, you can get some grants. I doubt that there's $40,000 or $50,000 worth of grants that these students can get. No, it's student loans. So basically, you're putting yourself in debt in exchange to get an education to work a job or get a job, hopefully, after college to pay off the debt with the education that somehow you accrued. That's pretty much how the country has kept us pretty much in this system of being workers. It's not that they've hidden the information on how to invest or better ourselves financially or get to a better place, you know, from a financial standpoint. They didn't hide the information. It was hiding in plain sight, but they relied on a few things to kind of say, hey, maybe if we make it accessible, so accessible, it will turn them off, away from it. And it has. For the most part, it has. There's a reason why the chasm between the wealthy and the unwealthy is getting wider. The middle class is getting smaller and smaller. It's now just going to be lower class and upper class, and that's it. There's going to be very little middle class. Why? Well, in addition to what's going on in the world, there's this mindset that it's out of reach. It's out of reach. It's nowhere. I can't get to that place of a Bill Gates. I can't get to that place of a Warren Buffett. I can't get to that place of Steve Jobs and make even a fraction of that type of money. So I have to work this job here, that job here. Now, there are those that may think like that, and I wish they wouldn't. I wish they wouldn't, because the information is there. Of course, you gotta kind of do your research and decipher what is real, what is fake news. You have to kind of decipher that for yourself, but the information is there. And it doesn't have to be any type of large, you know, swing for the fence type of movement or step. It could be a very small step. Do you know that you can actually own fractions of stock? You don't have to buy the whole stock at $300 per share. You can buy a fraction of that just by pretty much saying direct depositing money to go directly to it. The same way that you would pay on a bill, you're now actually putting money towards something that can actually make you money. There's stocks out there that actually give dividends, basically as a thank you for being a shareholder, for owning shares in the stock. And of course, the more shares you own, the more shares you have, the more money you'll be getting back for those companies that do dividends. I definitely would say just look into those types of things, and maybe information that you never heard before. It may be information that you've heard, but it never registered that you could do it. I myself was in that, you know, that vein of thought, you know, up until, you know, a few years ago. It's like, wait a minute, banks are only giving us 0.1%, 1% maybe, on money that we're giving them, but they're making more money, getting 5 and 10% returns on the money that I'm giving them, or the money that I have saved in their institution. They're making more, but I'm getting 1% of that. How is saving money making me money? It's not. It's not, and the system is geared for us to work or to be at such a low level and avoid getting the information and utilizing it to become wealthy in this country. It's so much easier to just go to a job that pays $15, $16, $17 an hour. You're working paycheck to paycheck. You might have your bills and stuff like that, but you're not happy. You're not fulfilled with what you're doing. Most would say, if I'm going to be fulfilled with something, it has to be something that I want to do. And I totally agree. Whatever that you want to do out of life, you should basically be fulfilled with it. It should give you such joy. It should give you such joy that you wake up every morning by God's grace, and you say, you know what, I can't wait to get to work. There's going to be good days, there's going to be bad days, but I can't wait to get to work. How many of you feel that way? And it's okay to be honest with yourself. I mean, we all have felt at some point or another, you know what, it's time for a change. I'm burnt out. I've had enough. I don't feel appreciated on my job. I don't feel utilized properly at my job. I don't feel like I matter at my job. That's the total opposite of fulfillment, in my personal opinion. In my personal opinion, that's the total opposite of fulfillment. That's the total opposite of what your purpose is here for. I don't know what your purpose is. Your purpose will be different from the purpose of the person listening to this in a totally different part of the world. That doesn't mean that neither one of you have, you know, a purpose that is more important than the other or less important than the other. Your purpose is your very own. You have to find it. But if your purpose is not a moment of fulfillment in doing what you love, then you're not living up to your potential. You're in that system. You're in that routine. You're getting those same stories of you work hard and you work your way up to the top in 30, 40 years, and you get a pension and you get Social Security, and then you ride off into the sunset like Sundance and the kid. Maybe Sundance was a kid, but you know what I'm saying. Maybe they weren't. I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say. You just ride off into the sunset and everything's great, but you don't know what the future holds. If you're not prepared, if you're being complacent right now with everything that's going on, and you're kind of like, well, standard of living is going up, food is going up, you know, the cost of where I'm living is going up, gas prices are going up. Pretty soon, you know, gas may be too high, and, you know, they got all these electronic vehicles, and soon I'm going to have to ride a bike, but pretty soon I'm going to be too old to ride a bike, and my knees are going to give out, and I'm going to, you know, pretty much hurt my hip trying to go up a hill on my bike. Or you can start now. You can start now and shed off the stench of complacency. Being complacent has never gotten anyone anywhere. And all complacency is pretty much you're just thinking that, hey, you know what? It's always going to be there. There's no rush. There's no hurry. You know, I'm comfortable where I'm at. And these are the people who can't see the forest for the trees. And I always love that phrase. And I had to kind of like refamiliarize myself with it. And basically what it means is there's a problem that someone is not thinking of the intricate details of a much larger problem on a much larger scale. At some point, your physical body, you're not going to be able to work anymore. You're not going to be able to physically be employable to earn money. So what are you going to do? You're going to rely on the government. You're going to rely on your 401k and things of that nature. But eventually, that is going to run out. That is going to run out. And the system, it depends on several factors. It depends on our complacency with what we get, either a small bonus, raise, or stimulus check like a few years ago. Hey, we got it. We got money. We're good. What did most of us do with the stimulus check, myself included? We went out and we bought this, we bought that, whatever. There was no talk of investments. There was no talk of putting money to work for us. Nothing like that. And the system banks on that. The system banks on our unwillingness to learn or get educated about what goes on around us or in the economy. Our unwillingness to evolve. We're just so stuck in our ways. No, I'm not doing it. We're so stuck in our ways. The system is also, bent on our inability to get out of our own way. Relying heavily on family for job referrals and job advice rather than doing our own research and saying, hey, what works best for me? Because if you're going to family for everything, that is a comfort zone. You're being complacent. You're always relying on that which you know rather than stepping out on faith and saying, you know what, let me find out this for myself. And the system is also dependent, rather than us educating ourselves on a personal level, either with certifications or going to conferences or webinars or workshops or networking. Remember, I always say broke people hang around broke people, but wealthy people, they do the opposite. We have to do the opposite of what we've been doing in order to see the change and be the change. And hopefully this episode kind of brings this home and share it with someone who may need to hear some encouraging words to kind of, move forward and progress, because we all need it. I love you. Thank you so much for tuning in as always. And as always, before you love anyone else, you must first love yourself. And I am out this thing. The Bronx Don. Fly guy always. Cypher.
That's to me, MC, Mr. Luke, the crowd.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is.
That's to me, MC, Mr. Luke, the crowd.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is.